Welcome to the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Turk. Join me as we dive into the personal stories of some of the world's best hospitality professionals. We follow the journey of their ups, downs, and wild turns to find out what it truly takes to make it in the amazing world of hospitality. Listener, if you're running a hospitality business, you already know the work doesn't stop. And most of the time, it's not even the guests that wear you out. It's everything happening behind the scenes. That's why I'm really glad to introduce you to Lodgify, our sponsor for this episode. Lodgify is an all-in-one platform that helps short-term rental hosts and hospitality operators stay organized without needing a dozen different tools. You can manage reservations, keep your calendars synced, communicate with guests, and even collect payments all in one place. And if part of your goal this year is to drive more direct bookings, Lodgify also makes it easy to build your own website so guests can book directly with you. Plus, and I love this one, they include free onboarding so you're not figuring everything out on your own. If you like to spend less time managing the chaos and more time focused on hospitality, try Lodgify with a 20% discount on all their yearly and bi-yearly plans with our code THM20. And that's THM20. Now, back to the show. Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And today, listeners, I'm very excited about this one. I've got Tim Major, CEO of Operto, here with us today. Tim, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And we were just talking backstage a little bit, listeners. You know, we always have operators, GMs, and people leading resorts and hotels, but this I thought was a good time to bring Tim in because there's so much happening in the world of technology, and Tim is at the forefront of all that. So I figured, Tim, maybe before I ask my traditional question, why don't you give a little like 30-second download of what you're doing at Operto so the audience knows. They can check out the website as you're talking, and then we get back into your journey.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm the CEO of Operto, as Steve mentioned. And what we're doing right now is for the last 18 months, we've been mostly in shadow mode, really thinking about what does the future mean for hotels in terms of org design roles, like what role does AI play? And so what we focused on building and what we brought to life was, think of it as a agentic set of teammates that are there to help your property. Really thinking about role by role, what are the outcomes of that role? How can AI assist that role? And in some cases, where can AI actually replace tasks? So we have around 10 different agents right now, and we really think of it as this agentic teammates.
It's so cool. Yeah. And I would tell listeners, if you're not driving, just pause real quick, go to the website for Operto, see what they're doing, because it's something I've been talking about for years and people will kind of laugh and be like, oh, that's not going to happen. That's not going to get there. Yeah. And now we really are in this type of time and world where these kind of things are happening in AI. And, you know, I'm supercharged by using all different kind of AI tools and I'm excited to see where the future goes. And we're going to talk more about that as we get further into the conversation. But I want people to understand because, you know, there's so many sides of hospitality and so many different places to work in it. And you happen to be in the technology part, which we use all the time. And you've done all different kinds of technology. So you have such a big resume. We don't have to go into all of it, but how did you get started in this, right? Because you have such an interesting background.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I got started, I kind of got the first taste for hospitality, kind of an interesting job. I was a tour guide for Volkswagen and Volkswagen used to do this thing every year where they would bring all the presidents around the world to a city and they would curate an event for them. So they would curate, basically bring in all luxury cars that were competition. And then they would really build on the experience of the city and the surrounding area. So my job was I'm based in Vancouver, Canada. So my job was to help these presidents really experience Vancouver and experience Whistler. It was a tough job because I had to drive a brand new Audi A4 with like the president of Spain, the president of France, and kind of hear their stories. But also it really started to invigorate this idea that how do you create a meaningful experience for somebody when you're traveling? And what does that look like? And a lot of these, you know, they left Vancouver Whistler and they were just love the vacation and they love the splendor of nature. And it And it, so it really got me excited about what is possible with hospitality, but also seeing how all of this comes together, restaurants, hotels, the underlying systems, the logistics. It was super complicated. So that was kind of my first taste in hospitality probably in the late 90s. I'm going to date myself now, but
it's all right. So late 90s, you know, I was thinking about it when you were in school, right? You were at Simon Fraser University. You're on the rugby team, right? I'm sure a big, tough guy. Like, is this what you saw yourself doing? Or was this just kind of like, oh, I got to figure something out?
Yeah. You know, what's funny is like, I was a tough guy, but I was a introverted guy. I was pretty quiet, especially in my high school years. And so I was in spending my spare time when I, you know, wasn't playing rugby. I was actually building computers. I was building, like, I had the earliest computers in the 80s. I had, I don't know if people listening will remember, like, Texas Instruments had right. computers in the 80s, and then there was Tandy's, and then there was IBM's. So I was slowly starting to build these computers. I remember one Christmas, how excited I got when there was a 14.4 baud modem in under the tree. And so for those listeners who don't remember, this was a time where these modems, you plug them into your phone line and they make this scratchy noise connecting up to what was kind of the earliest versions of the internet, where you were connecting to AOL or Genie and starting that experience. And so, you know, that's what I was sort of doing on the side. And then kind of that meandered into kind of an interesting time where the music industry was also changing in the late 90s and the early 2000s. CDs were becoming Napster and MP3 downloads. A funny kind of story happened to me is my cousin was a country singer, kind of up and coming. And suddenly she got a deal on Capitol Records out of Nashville, Tennessee. And so the whole family was sort of rallying around this exciting progression. And she came to me, and because I was the geeky kid, she was like, there's these things called websites. Can you build me a website? And so that was kind of my foray into starting to build technology for a customer, basically, and thinking about that. So oddly enough, I built a number of websites for the music industry in Canada. And at the time, the internet was also really hot and interesting. So I was nominated for a Canadian Country Music Award for Best Website of the Year.
Wow.
Now, I mean, of course, that was not the on-camera part, but it was still this fascinating time. So there's pictures of me in my early 20s with a Canadian Country Music Award for technology that came above. But that was the start of the technology piece layering in.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool. That's a great part of the story here. So how do you start to kind of follow that path in technology, right? You're building websites for country music singer and your family. How do you start to navigate? Because you're a two-time founder. You've done this now a couple of times. You've also worked for companies. How do you start to kind of follow that journey?
What I think was pretty obvious in the 2000s is there was just a need for a lot of technology. A lot of companies didn't know how to get on the internet. And so a lot of ideas were coming to life. So in the late 2000s, I built a web application development company that was really focused on hospitality. For example, you know, working with companies like IntraWest or Sequoia Restaurants, a lot of different breweries here. And they were really looking at how can I use technology? So it's building the early days of commerce. How do I transact for retail? For IntraWest, it was building the early days of like, what is a booking engine? What should we display? And so this stuff, we were really building a lot of it from scratch for the first time. So I started building a lot of custom applications for all these different businesses. And then what happened is one of my clients actually became Roomkey, which was a property management system based out of Vancouver. And we were just helping them with technology. And as soon as I saw the world of hospitality, I realized that like, it's so complicated. There's all these interfaces. It runs 24/7. Not a lot of businesses run 24/7, like other than, you know, maybe like hospitals or emergency services. So you have all these connecting technologies. You have all this complexity. And the conversations I was having with the CEO of Roomkey through that migration basically resulted in that business being acquired by that PMS. And the goal was at the time, we wanted to build a lot of custom applications for hotels. That's kind of how it started.
Man, so you built your company, got acquired by Roomkey. You're there a decade, right? You move on up. So I guess you're doing a good job. It's not just one of these founders that they buy the stuff and you leave 6 months later.
Yeah.
How did you find yourself doing with Roomkey? What was the something that you were them.
I got the bug for hospitality there at Roomkey. I'd sort of tasted it before early in my career, but I found working with hoteliers was such a wonderful collaborative experience. This was one of the first sets of customers where we hug each other when we see each other. Like, the hospitality connection is a very real, genuine, authentic connection. And so I got that bug, and I just saw that, you know, we can fix this. 15 years ago, I thought I had such a passion for, there's APIs, there's poor front-end UX, there's poorly constructed piece of software. We're going to fix this, no problem. 15 years later, I'm, you know, still very much trying to fix it. But that was really the road at Roomkey. I mean, Roomkey was one of the first PMSs to ever connect with Expedia, for example. It was the first time seeing data move between systems, you know, sort of asynchronously. So that was that. And I took on many different roles at Roomkey. I started really putting up my hand for problems. I think I have a love of just tackling anything that's sort of difficult or looks fixable. So I started in VP of operations role there. Then I became the VP of product. And then eventually the CEO retired and the board looked to me and said, we think you're a fit for this. And so I absolutely was like, I can't wait to tackle this. There's so many juicy things in technology to undertake. And that's what led to becoming the CEO of Roomkey.
That's amazing. And so did you have anyone kind of mentoring you at that time coming up? Was there someone looking out for you, or was it you just reading books and looking at videos? What was it that got you moving up that tree?
Yeah. You know, a bit of both. I was really fortunate in my 20s, in Vancouver, there's something called the Vancouver Board of Trade, and they created something called Leaders of Tomorrow, which was basically meant to take seasoned business experts and match them with students. And so at the time I was at Simon Fraser University, and they matched me with a mentor. And this mentor really was there to, we'd meet for coffee every 2 weeks, and he would really talk me through, you know, like, where do you want your career to go? What are you interested in? So he was always sort of there as a sounding board to sort of check me or humble me or kind of boost me up, to, especially when some jobs you would get into a situation where it kind of feels like imposter syndrome, where, you know, I'm in a job, I don't know what I'm doing. Should I keep going? And the mentor was always kind of there to kind of help push me along. That was a part of it. I also think, you know, the book part of it is, I think before I tackled any problem, I always figured that there's been many people that have tackled this problem before me. Why tackle it from scratch? And so there used to be a book chain called Chapters here in Canada. I'm not sure if it was in the United States, but I'd basically go to Chapters and I would take out every single book on the subject. So just buy 10 books, read them as fast as I can. I maybe only get through 7, because by then I just couldn't handle any more information, but just sort of immerse myself and then really fake it until you make it, right? Apply theories, see how they resonate in the real world. And then, you know, continuing that process that's been probably and being, you know, really open to mistakes, that the mistakes are far greater than the successes, but the mistakes were the critical information points I needed to figure out what to do next.
Was there any big mistake that you learned from during that time? Before it kind of sticks out, they're like, hey, I can still feel the pain in my gut if I think about it.
It's so funny you say that. I think it's learnings as you get involved in businesses where the skeletons are in the businesses. I think early on, I'd often go in very optimistic with the teams I was working with, but I wouldn't necessarily dig deeply into where there may be risk in the business. An example is looking at all the legal documents that exist inside of businesses, between vendors, between customers. All of these individual line items really make up a lot of risk that exists in the business. So I think that's where it took me a couple businesses to learn that lesson.
That's good. For any listeners, rewind that, because that is true. Make sure you know your contracts. Don't buy something if everyone can hop out in 30 days.
Look for the line items that are size font 9, font 8, font 7. Those line items are particularly important.
Yes, they are. So back to your journey. You're at Roomkey. Again, you get purchased, it looks like, by another company. Is that right? You start up as a CEO and purchased again?
Yeah, well, I think part of it was looking at the industry and realizing that One of the challenges in the industry is it's very fragmented technology-wise. You have RMSs, PMSs. A lot of these systems have been talked to each other to various different degrees of success. And RoomKey at the time was around 800 hotels, but I saw an opportunity to bring more hotels together. And to do that, you really need to bring PMSs together, because PMSs are on that front line with customers. They're the system of record in terms of rates and availability and actual product. And to do that on our own, we really wanted to find a consortium that wanted to do that. So I went out looking for strategic buyers or strategic partners. And that's what led to Fullsteam, which was the company that ended up acquiring RoomKey. And their vision was to bring together a lot of the PMSs in North America to improve the fundamental systems and operations by working together. Because a lot of us, back when I was CEO of RoomKey, I thought it would be interesting to call all the CEOs of all the PMSs in the world. So I made a list, and I got to a list of about 1,000, and I started dialing for dollars. And I called about 300, and I had conversations with probably 50 in North America, 10 in Italy, a couple more in France, a couple more in Germany. And I found that every call was the same. We were working on the same problems, having the same challenges with technology. And that's where I thought there needs to be a better way for us to come together. And that's what really, drove Fullsteam. And then Fullsteam, we went on to bring in a whole bunch of PMSs from Maestro to, Resort Data Systems to WebRes Pro, really trying to build out that group of PMSs to work together. And so what was the most fun there is sitting in a room with all these presidents going, okay, how do we do this better? What do we need to standardize? How do we work together? How do we talk to customers more? How do we get out more into the market, at the right events, really listening and building technology that's going to truly help?
Man, it almost sounds like the mafia technology, right? Like technology, you're there sitting with all the heads of the families trying to organize, because it really is.
Yeah, yeah.
PMS is an important tool any hotel uses. And for listeners that maybe, we have a lot of people who don't ever work in hotel, they just listen to the show. That really controls everything that you do, how you get bookings, how you control the room inventory, even connects to your food and beverage and your cabana, then your spa, and all these things that have tied back to that property management system. So it was cool to hear that you're calling so many and everyone's working on the same thing. But then you mentioned Maestro, you brought them in as part of it, but then you joined them. So how does that happen? Is that just a natural progression because they're part of the group, or you left them completely?
Yeah, I joined Maestro because I was working in different PMSs at different stages of their growth. And Maestro was such a strong leader in terms of the luxury brands in North America, really dealing with complex technology situation, complex lodging setups. And so for me, it was really exciting to just dig into that and really see how we could evolve that technology. And that's where at the time, I was also developing an AI strategy. So how can we be utilizing HI and building that on top of the PMSs or integrating into key aspects of the PMS? And Maestro was such a natural fit for that. So just a wonderful team of people to work with there. And that's really what caused that shift.
All right. So now we get to present day. You're at Maestro, looks like, for about a year and change. And then... Yeah. You come to El Puerto. Now, are you being recruited, or is this something you had to move to? Because it's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, it was a really hard decision. Fullsteam's a great company and Maestro's an amazing company. And so I could have quite happily stayed there for the rest of my career. But I had probably about a year ago, maybe a little more than that, I started in the evenings bringing ideas to life with Cursor, which is one of the AI development environments. There's a few now that I really started to use that. And I was toying with the idea of how fast could I take a business concept, business case it, and then build out sort of the concept of a minimum viable product, but basically something that I could bring to market rapidly. Ideas that I had been living in hospitality for years, but couldn't quite bring to life. And I remember sitting, on the weekend building an app for 2 or 3 hours. And I remember calling my wife over and I showed her what was constructed, and I said, this would have taken a 6 months. And I feel like I built out the fundamental connectivity of this and the UX of this in hours. And that's when it struck me that this is an entirely new time. This feels like a paradigm shift. This feels like it felt in 2000, where I was a little bit too young in 2000 to completely appreciate the shift. But this felt like there's going to be clearly a before time and an after time. And so what happened is I started trying to figure out what is the best vehicle to bring this to life. And with Aperto, I met with Aperto is actually originally connected to the ex-CEO of Booking.com, and started to, you know, dissect the vision of where this industry needs to go. Really thinking about this agentic suite where you really have to think about this in a new way and a new way of architecting it. You can't just do point solutions on top of old solutions. You really have to do it AI native. And so that's what got me really excited. And I realized I needed to just move into an environment that could do that really rapidly. And the goal being to ultimately work with all the PMSs and the same companies that I've already worked with, but bring this kind of rethinking of how, where AI fits to the equation. So that's what really drove my move to Aperto.
I love it. And I think now we can hop into a little bit of this conversation of what I really want to talk to you about. So you mentioned that, like, I'm so happy to hear, like, back in the 2000s, you were that person logging on, building websites and really understanding these things as they were coming on and building it for people. Because I see it similar. Like, I was, you know, I graduated high school in 2000. So I was just like using the stuff. You don't realize how big a thing is. But I remember logging on to AOL with the modem and how long. Got the phone, like it disconnected. And so just to get from there.
Yeah.
Where we are now, it seems like a long time ago, but really in the scheme of things that happened. So I started using a little bit. I was using ChatGPT the day it came out 3 years or four, like almost 4 years ago now, like the early version. And now I'm a $200 a month user of it and built up all my little GPTs, but it's moving so fast that it's like, man, I can't even keep up with all the different tools that are out there. So how are you seeing it now, like for the world of hospitality, and then maybe how you're using it too?
Interesting.
Yeah, we did.
Using it, how you're using it, and then we'll go in the hospitality side.
Yeah, I mean, how I'm using it day to day is, I have multiple LLMs. So I'm using Claude Cowork, for example. So I'm using that to actually, with our sales team, to enrich data, figure out, you know, who we should be talking to, looking at our audience continually. You know, I mean, that's one of the purposes. You know, we also are using, for example, we'll take a lot of conversations with customers. So in terms of transcripts, you know, without including customer names, but really listening to the conversations, and we're amalgamating all of that to really understand, you know, what are the needs of our audience. So for example, when we're building a new feature, we'll actually ask the trained AI inside of ChatGPT, who has all of our customer conversations, what they think of where we're going. So we're actually trying to represent our all of these conversations of all of our audiences in that sort of database of information. So that's kind of a very different way of working that would have taken place before. In terms of our development teams, all of our teams are using AI every single day. And you know, what's interesting now is it's almost starting to think about, how does a developer use AI? It's part of their job is becoming, how are they orchestrating more than just coding? And so it's becoming a slightly different job. So like lots of that taking place. I would say every single department in our organization is using AI. And interesting things that they're doing too, is they're even using AI to create agents for their own roles. And then as things change, they change the instructions for that AI agent. So it takes on more of their voice and more of their thinking. So it's almost like every employee is creating their own assistant to go along with their jobs, which is really creating this flywheel of productivity that I've never seen before. The dangerous side of it is it's also creating a bit of AI burnout, where the speed of information people are trying to comprehend is so much faster than it ever was before. But I definitely think it's creating some rapid insights. I think it's really improving things. It's actually a lot of fun too.
Yeah. And there's still so many people who have not really tried things out. It's funny. Like, I think, you know, I go to some schools and I talk to some of these younger college kids. I thought they would all be into it and using it all the time, but they're not allowed to use them in some environments. And so they haven't really applied it to business and to other things. So just amazing to see. And then I talked to someone like my mom, who's never touched it, but my dad is an attorney, uses it a bunch. So it's just funny to see where we're at in the life cycle of this. But I think you're right. Like, it's happening faster and faster. But in the world of hospitality, we're short staffed right now in a lot of places, and there are so many different tools to use. What are you seeing from your clients or just hearing in the conferences? How do you see this going? Because it joined Operto to really make a difference. Where do you see it going?
You know, there's a couple areas. I think there's a complete range of hotels in terms of their levels of adoption. I think one of our goals has been to partner with hotels to help them figure out what makes sense for them. And that's why we took this agentic approach, realizing we don't want to push a chatbot, or we don't want to push AI for the sake of. We want to figure out, you know, what's your brand? Who's your customers? What's your vision for how you want to interact with your guests or prospective guests? And then determine, you know, which of these tools is actually going to assist with that. In a lot of cases, we don't want AI getting in the way of a guest experience or a guest connection or a guest conversation. So it's not trying to force technology in that way. One of the areas that we recommend where we think AI can help a lot right now, which is an interesting trend, is wherever data is really knowable and where the AI can actually do a better job than a person, it makes sense to start there and start to develop your trust with AI. I think of an AI agent kind of like hiring a junior staff member or an intermediate staff member. You wouldn't expect them to get everything right from day one. You have to help them, train them, and get better at it. So, and it's getting used to that way of thinking with AI agents. So a good place to start is, I think, on the distribution, the direct booking side, as an example. One of the things that we've seen is AI can actually monitor things, make decisions on things on the direct booking side, and take actions in ways that it would be difficult for a human to do, just because a lot of humans, you need to sort of set a plan in place for a week or a month or maybe a day. You can't monitor something every second or every minute. So on the distribution side, that's where we think there's a lot of assistance there and a good place to start.
So give me a real world example of that. Like, what would you say? I'm a revenue director and I'm trying to maintain my pricing across my resort competing with other resorts, or how are you looking at that part? Like, what would the example be?
For example, back in 2015, this really started then, is there's a number of OTA affiliates that are running ads using hotels' brand names. And this isn't just booking.com and Expedia. There are these other sites like reservationdesk.com and hotels1.com. They're actually taking your hotel name and putting it in their domain. And then they pretend as if they're your hotel. So their listings show up as your name. The landing page that you come to looks like your hotel. And if you call them, they're going to also act as if your hotel. And what we find is that these, like, for example, if I just checked, end of last week, there's about 200,000 of these ads running in the US right now. And the challenge is they run at all different times and all different windows based on all different devices. So if you're on your phone, if you're in a different city, it's very hard to see where they're running and when they're running. So where AI can help with this is AI can actually agentically go in and monitor for your brand, watching the screens to see when these ads are occurring, where they're occurring. And then it can actually collect all the information that can look at the ads, look at the content it's using, and can actually report these ads to, for example, Google, because it also knows all the legal frameworks of what would be considered a fraudulent activity. So it can make all these conclusions, and it can come back to the hotel and just make a recommendation. It can, for example, you could wake up on a Tuesday morning, open up that particular agent, and it would recommend you. We notice that these predators have stolen, 60% of your clicks on this page for the last week. We have two solutions we can run for you that will remove them. Would you like to proceed? And you can just click proceed, and now it'll actually go and action that. So where a human would have to now action that, it can action it real time. And then it'll say to you, do you give me permission to continue to make some tweaks that look like this every day to maintain your rank. And you say yes. And then every day it would, for example, create ads on the fly, change the headlines. It'll triage the price point, you know, quickly to kind of go, I need to outprice, or it'll decide other tactics that it needs to do. So that is, and that's an area where AI fits really well, and it doesn't get in front of the guest, but it gets you thinking about, you know, how do you train this? How do you interact with it? How does it change your hotel workflow? Because you didn't have that person ever before. So where do they fit now? When do I talk to them? Who talks to them, right? Is that my marketing manager? Do I need a marketing manager talking to them? Can the GM talk to them, right? So it's just that type of new thinking, which is, you know, I think one of the big changes that's happening and coming.
Yeah, because there's so much data that comes into a hotel. People don't realize how much information, whether it's guest information or reviews or, you know, pricing information, everything that keeps coming in, there's so much that AI could be used for. And I have so many different ideas, but I want to talk about now on the floor, right? There's so many middle managers getting squeezed right now. They're short staffed. It's tight around the hotel. What can GMs and owners of hotels start thinking about, whether it's with Operto or other things that you're seeing just overall using AI? How can they use that to get them back on the floor? I always thought back of house is a great place for AI to be being used, plus hopefully robotics in the future. Like, how are you seeing this?
I think there's sort of a couple pieces is for the back house functionality. The great thing about AI is it can be watching the conversation through the whole pre-guest and stay experience. So you're able to get an idea of sentiment of a guest, or if a guest is saying things in different chat or WhatsApp conversations, it can be actually pulling things out and saying, you know what, this person has requested something. We need to immediately have that tasked. And then that task goes to the right person at the right time. So that task could be going to somebody through SMS or through an app on their phone or through WhatsApp, just making sure you're getting the right task to the right person at the right time, trying to take out some of that guesswork or, you know, manual components of trying to create tasks every day. It's really trying to do it real time. So I think that's one of the back of house features that's there. I think the other thing that you'll start to see happening more and more is hotels need to structure their data in such a way that is usable by agents. So where you have all these systems like RMSs and PMSs and websites and hotel data, all of that needs to live in one place where the AI agents can get better. They can understand your operating procedures and so on. So I think the value of that will be getting information to staff at the right time. So it could be, for example, when the front desk is about to start their shift and they want to see who's in-house, they quickly run their mouse over all of the guests in their PMS system, and it quickly summarizes rapidly for them, you know, in a form that's consumable, like natural language, of what you need to know. And like you said, because there's so much information, you can run reports or pull that, but in the right developing AI agent, it'll actually tell you, you know, is it a VIP, what their last stay was, what you should talk to them about, a few things where you're not doing that directly with the guest. You're just informing that person so that they can be prepared and they can be as creative and create that the best hosting experience they can in that moment. So I think that's where there's two areas of not only doing some of the work in back of house, but just surfacing really good information quickly.
I think you heard it. Like, how do you communicate all those things? And I'm nerding out here because I remember, like, I've been out of the actual hotel as an executive now for, it's going to be almost 5 years, which is crazy to say. But when I was an executive at Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel, 800 room resort, I had to log into 17 different applications, all different companies, to run my division. And it was like a crazy thing. It's how do you now start to get these to all speak to each other so you have one vision? So I think it's going to be companies, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that are able to create all these pooling. How can I track my resort passes and my reservations in the restaurant and my spa bookings and the retail sales and what's going on at Valet? All these things that are ancillary tied to that room PMS is going to be interesting to see. Are you seeing that now and what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I think that is the ongoing effort, is to bring together all this info. But I think if you think about the difference with AI, is that in the past, we were trying to create tools that would expose things for humans to action. Now it's thinking about what action do we want and what information do we need to do that action? Because the AI, we can then ask the AI to do that actual action. So I think that's where I do think that's the big difference, is just rethinking from an outcome perspective and then working backwards.
I love it. And so you're having now, you're diving deep into this, you're building it out, you have the agents going. What are some things that you're hearing from hotels? Because hotels are usually traditionally like, nah, I don't know, I'm not sure right now. Are you seeing it different? Are you just doing hotels? Are you doing vacation rentals? Where are you seeing things actually taking off?
I mean, Aperto One is building for hotels, primarily targeting independent hotels in North America and Europe right now. So that's been our conversations. To be honest, the conversations really range the gamut from back of house interest to really operations, saving time, creating efficiency using those tools. But we're definitely seeing a very strong interest in how AI can help with direct bookings, just because it's such an important part of their net operating income. You know, a few percentage point changes on that piece, or just understanding which channels are working well. And I think, for example, it's kind of rethinking the framework of, you have a website. Why do you have a website? For example, if the AI agent is now creating ads or positioning for your hotel, it's actually also pulling in all the intent data to know what that person's looking for. Well, why would you then send them to a generic website? So for example, AI now can actually build the landing page experience on the fly. So what does this person want? Let's say they came from ChatGPT. Well, maybe they don't want a website. They actually want a chat experience that has a combination of photos, and you're continuing the conversation you started in ChatGPT. Let's say that they're a business traveler. Well, if they want it, they don't necessarily want to land on a website where it pops up and tells them about a leisure experience. So the difference now is that AI can actually build the landing page experience customized to that intention, and then drive right through to the deep within the booking engine to really improve that experience. How I think about it is, I remember in the 2000s, there was a lot of books that were hyper-personalized. The internet is going to bring hyper-personalization. There's going to be one-to-one marketing. It'll be like you're going to visit your local butcher, and he will know everything about your prior selections and friends and family and so on. That promise never really came true with just the internet alone. And AI actually now has the ability to do that piece. And so I think that's where we're seeing some of the most interest, because it has a chance to really reframe and rebuild the direct booking piece. But it really is all over the place. And that's where I think a lot of this is also just consulting with hotels, just starting at the beginning, going, let's talk about your workflows. Where do you struggle? Where is something that you don't have staff for, or you're struggling to train? And we're really just starting there. I think in a lot of ways, even though there's a lot of information out there right now, it's really early days. It's going to take years to kind of rethink and adopt this technology. And I think that's what's actually going to be the most fun, is partnering with hotels to figure this out with them.
There's so many things people don't realize in a hotel, because with the heart of house and the front of house and the marketing and the revenue management and all the different areas and different tools that everybody uses, that's going to be really exciting to see what happens. As I build out our first hotel, which is a 20 room landscape hotel, and listeners, it's called Baya, and we're focusing on wellness and agritourism and hospitality all in one place, but we're using really an asset light model with using technology so the staff can be ultra efficient. And so I'm always excited to hearing what you're talking about, because now
that's actually a good example. Like, I wonder if it's something like, for example, when you're creating a wellness experience, there can be many components to it. So, and if you think about that in relation to the itinerary, what should be the itinerary of that person? What order of experiences should they do? Should they do, Steve, I don't know the property, but if there was like a spa experience, or if there was activities around the property, should you do spa experience on the second day? Or should you do you don't want to do the horseback riding right before you go to the spa. So a lot of knowledge of logistics there. But when the AI system, like we actually call it an AI hub at Aperto, when it takes in all of that context of, and it knows the guest, it knows their time frame, it kind of knows the budget, it also knows everything about your hotel, it knows your operating procedures, it can actually curate some of that back to the staff to kind of go, you're about to talk to this person, without having a supervisor here or the expert in wellness. It can actually help fill that role. And that's where we've actually had some conversations with luxury properties, where it's figuring out, when you have so many activities and so much information there, How do you communicate that in an easy way to the guest to get them excited or to get them to buy and so on? So I'm not sure if that kind of thing could apply.
I guess you start thinking of all the possibilities out there. That's exactly what we want. Everyone wants to feel like this is my personal vacation, even though I'm with other people that are traveling the world. It was catered to me, right? Mm-hmm. This, all things make a huge difference for everybody. So the more tools we can have like that, the better. But now I could talk to you about this all day and we could nerd out, but I want to see, I'm not asking for your 5-year plan, but what are you most excited about this year? You know, really the next 12 months, what's most exciting?
Yeah. What's most exciting, I think, is to take a bite out of direct booking, help hotels there. And I think the second thing is ensuring hotels can be found in all of these new sources. So in LLM, so if a traveler's in Claude, if a traveler's in ChatGPT, if a traveler builds their own travel agent using this OpenClaw, which is kind of another, we go down another rabbit hole there, right? Where you're building things on your own computer that are your own agents. You want to make sure your hotels are being found. I think that those two to me are really the things over the next 12 months that I'm most excited about and looking forward to really leaning into hotels and working with them to make become reality.
I think that's a great, great point, especially if there's so much OpenClaw, like everyone buying their Mac Minis and running them.
I know Mac Minis are selling out. It's been years since people bought Mac Minis.
Yeah, I went into a black hole, like watching every YouTube and TikTok video, trying to figure out how to apply it to what I'm doing. I was like, all right, this is moving very quickly. I start to feel like I'm behind. I used to be way ahead, now I'm falling behind.
I know, you're like that. You know what I'd say to that is, I still think a lot of this is experimentation. So I wouldn't say you're behind. It's just time to start to dabble. I liken it to like the very first day and the very first search you put into ChatGPT. What did we all ask? Like, what is the weather, right? Like, or, you know, we didn't know how to use it, and it takes using it to learn it. And I think that's where everybody's at.
Yeah, I just talked to like an employee, which is on my team. It's interesting how I do that every day. But so now for you, last question here, because we ask everyone the same question. If you could go to young Tim that was just getting started in the industry, you know, driving around people in that Audi A4, what are you going to whisper into young Tim's ear about his career?
Yeah. About your career, I think kind of on the same last point is just to familiarize yourself with these tools, these new tools. You know, download Cursor, just try some of these things out. Dabble and start to get a feel for how they're reasoning, how they're thinking, how they have different personalities, because they're likely going to be a core tool in your career, kind of like learning Office or Word or, you know, going back further. Now I'm really dating myself. It's like typing class in high school. Like, these are like essential components. So I think AI is now an essential tool that you have to be using. That's probably the most advice I'd give, because you want to make sure that the next job and the job that you have in hospitality, you're either bringing that information to your property to help them evolve, or you're part of the team that's helping plan that, or you're becoming aware of how that particular role might not be as critical as it once was, so that you can have, you know, a long, fruitful career in hospitality.
Tim, that's great advice for everybody listening. Make sure to try out all the new tools out there if you haven't yet. But listeners and viewers, we shared a lot of information here. We gave a lot of great stories. If you enjoyed it, your friends are going to enjoy it too. So take this, pause this, copy and paste, send it on over to them. And if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure to click here now. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And you're going to get so much great information from leaders like Tim. Tim, I appreciate you being here, my friend.
This podcast is brought to you by Biscayne Coffee. Biscayne Coffee was founded with a giving spirit and a big idea to enjoy delicious coffee roasted in Miami while helping save Biscayne Bay and the animals that live there. As a former food and beverage director, I can assure you these are some of the best quality beans on the planet. 10% of every coffee sold is donated to nonprofits to help preserve Biscayne Bay for all to enjoy. Visit BiscayneCoffee.com today and use promo code MENTOR at checkout to save 10% on your first order. Drink good coffee and create a good outcome.